Welcome everybody. We are going to be starting the second shiur in Tchilas Zmanenu. In this shiur we're going to get into the nitty-gritties of Mirak Chankas. And we're going to be going into the proofs that the Mirak Chankas is indeed the correct source of Tchilas. In this shiur we're going to deal with the first proof. We're going to go through the Simanim that Chazal gives for the Tchilasim and Tchilas, and then we're going to go in and see how they match up with the Mirak. In this shiur, we're going to, Mirat Hashem, bring down every Chazal, Maimer Chazal, Gemara, Medrash, so we can get our hands on it, talks directly and clearly about the Tchilasim and the Tchilas, and see what Simanim would come out from the Midrashim and from the Gemaras. For an introduction to this proof using simanim, there's a common misconception that simanim aren't conclusive. And people feel like, yeah, it matches with the simanim, but how do you know? Maybe there's another species out there which also matches with the simanim. And therefore, you know, how can you be 100%? Maybe there's another one. Or I've heard the terminology being used, it's only process of elimination, because simanim aren't exclusive. They're not saying that nothing else has these simanim. So, it's all process of elimination. I don't see anything else with these simanim, so therefore, by default, I'm saying that there's a chilazin. But maybe there is another chilazin out there with these simanim. So this is a mistake. It's a bunch of a mistake. It's a mistake in common sense. And just to preempt the Maharil that we spoke about yesterday, says in Farish, after that chilazin will come back. How will we find it? We'll look at the simanim, find the simanim, and somewhere in the Yamagoro, and we could bring it back if possible. So you see that the Maril and all those Achrayim that went along with the Maril held that simanim are conclusive enough to bring back the chilazim. The Maril was referring to the simanim of the Rambam. The Rambam quoted Sachat called four simanim. Mirat Hashem, this year we're going to go through 22 simanim. So, alachas kama v'kama, you know, the more simanim the better. To that if the Maril held the four simanim of the Rambam were conclusive, then the simanim, much more simanim to Chazal, are going to be a conclusive evidence that we're going to be able to bring back the chilazim. The source of the mistake is Poshet in common sense and Shikul Adas, and since I see that this is from what I've heard from Shiurim of people who are anti-Tchilas and Kintrezen I put anti-Tchilas. And so probably the biggest issue is not understanding how to use common sense and basic human natural intuitive logic. I've heard Shiurim, where the Magid Shir goes on a whole anti-Tchilas rampage, and what he's saying sounds good. You know, for the common listener, the person who's listening to Shiurim, everything sounds very nice. Sounds good. When you listen more thoroughly, you listen deeper into what he's saying, you're going to see that there's no tefachim to it. It's mamash lacking, pashut lacking common sense. However, the people who are listening are going for it, hook, line, and sinker. And it's a chaval, because then they come out of the shiur. Anti-Tchilas is totally, you know, not convinced b'chalal about Tchilas, formulating opinions, biased anti-Tchilas, and really it's not based on anything substantial. So, because of this major issue, I decided to take a little bit of time out to understand the source of the problem. And then, in our shiur, I'm going to try to deal with it, even if people who have this barrier, we'll call it, of approaching the sugya in a common sense situation, we're going to use the proofs and present it in a mathematical format. Let's see what I mean. So first of all, the human mind works on three different levels. It's called Chachma Bina and Das. Chachma is the mental function of information, having information. Bina, it's understanding information. It's taking that information, extrapolating on it, understanding it to what it's cause and effects are. Again, Maven Dover Mitar Dover, making connections. All different processes of passing information and understanding the ramifications of this information. That's Bina. Das is taking all that information, the Chachma, the information, and all its understanding in its expanded form, and making it part of us, making it part of me. That's what Das is. It's called inner knowledge, some people call it true knowledge. That's what Das is. Give an example. If somebody sees a dog, so they see a dog, that's information. They see the dog with big teeth, it's also information. The Bina now goes there and takes that information and says, dogs could bite, big teeth means big bite. And then also you have new information, dog starts barking. So the Bina understands dogs that are barking could mean angry. And then the dog is coming closer to him. So the Bina understands that coming closer, he wants something from me. And that thing might not be so pleasant, might be to bite me. However, with all that, he's not going to run. He's not going to run away. He's going to stay exactly where he is. Because he didn't hit his das yet. Das happens when that information and that understanding, the dog, the teeth, they're coming at me, he's coming to bite me, then it touches him, that's das, and then he's going to run. We see that by smoking. People can know that smoking is terrible for their health. They can know that it's going to cause them to die, but it didn't hit them in their das. They don't know what their das. They know intellectually. They know it. You know, they know intellectually. It's an abstraction. It's not real. It's not real to them. That's what das does. Now, das is not a one-way street. Das is a two-way street. Not only does das take all that information and put it as a part of myself, it also works the other way. When I approach, it has that knowledge inside of me. So therefore, when I approach a sugya to understand it, so that affects the Bina and it guides it where the answers are going to be, where to look. The faculty of common sense is a faculty of das. A computer, for example, could imitate on a very, very superficial level faculties of Chachma. It could store information. You have a hard drive which can store information. It has a processor, it could process information, compute things, formulas. So it has a superficial aspect of Bina. However, Das is impossible to be imitated by any computer. Das is a total human experience. It has no access to computers. There's a story with, I think it was with Kasparov, I'm not 100% sure. It was him or a different chess master, but I think it was Kasparov when he was still fighting Deep Blue in his chess games, and he's still beating them. And they asked him, how is it possible for you to beat a computer? A computer can think way many more moves a second than you can. So he said, the computer just tries every single different possibility. By me, I look at a chessboard, and I just know, I can look at the chessboard, and I know where the move is going to be. Which areas. I can eliminate 99% of the moves. What was the difference? He has that. He read from all the experiences and all the chess games that he played and logic and understanding the logic with in his inner knowledge. So he intuitively looks at the chessboard and could already figure out where the direction is going. That's the same thing when it comes to approaching any sugya. We have to approach it with Chachma, with Bina, and with Das. We have to look at the sugya not only as like a computer. You have to look at it with common sense. The problem is that many of us, in learning abstract sugyas and shas and gemara, we aren't accustomed to learning with common sense, applying our das positively to the sugyas. I think what makes sense with common sense, it's mostly dealing with chachma and bina. The information that the gemara is saying, making calculations, you know, to a degree working with svaras, but to apply das and common sense is not something that we're too much familiar with in learning shas, in learning abstract sugyas. So therefore, when it comes to the sugya of cheles, so people tend to approach it as an abstract sugya as well. And they approach it with knowledge and being a chachma and being a, with calculations and chishboinus, but not so much with common sense. I'll give an example of a situation, what a computer, we'll call it a computer mistake. I suppose somebody who's approaching it with a human aspect won't make such a mistake ever. Imagine you have two people, say Reuben and Shimon. They have a conversation. Reuben asks Shimon, "Do you know Mr. Stern from San Jerome?" So Shimon tells Reuben, "I know of a Mr. Stern San Jerome." So Reuben tells Shimon, "Is he gingy, 6 feet tall?" "Yeah, he's gingy and 6 feet tall." "He lives in the mirror?" "Yeah, he lives in the mirror." "Yeah, he has 6 kids, 4 boys and 2 girls?" "Yeah, he has 6 kids, 4 boys and 2 girls. "His wife works in medical billing?" "Yeah, his wife works in medical billing." "He drives a black car?" "No, he drives a gray car." Ah, so Reuben tells him, "It must be the different Mr. Stern. They both are gingy with 6 feet tall. They both blur in the mirror. They both work for medical billing. They both have 6 kids, 4 boys and 2 girls. He's one of them drives a black car, one of them drives a gray car." Now anybody who says such a thing, he's saying they fell off the moon. Now a computer will say, "Wait, that has to be. Because match up the information, it doesn't match up." What common sense says, no, that's not an option. It's not an option. So what are you going to answer to the steer? I say steer, he says black, he says gray. How are you going to answer the steer? So you say, either it's some sort of mistake, maybe he's calling it, it's a dark gray, maybe he's calling it black, he's calling it gray. Maybe, you know, there could be all different types of, and I can't answer, I can't answer you, but one thing I'm definitely not going to say is, I'm not going to say that to Mr. Sense. But have all these parallels. It's the same thing with when we get to a sugya of tefillos. If we approach it like a computer, so people tend to say, okay, so you have all these rayos, you know, to the tefillos, you know, bring down all the proofs, everything matches up, and then you find the dik in some reason, you know, a certain reason, how is it going to fit, you know, thing, you know. Oh, it must be that our two chazanim also have all these simanim lined up 1, 2, 1, 2, 20. And this one has this, and this one has this. And we're going to see the Ma'aseh, we're going to see that there aren't any questions. The Ma'aseh, there aren't any questions on the Chalazim, on the Mirex, and no Pirchis. We're going to see it later. However, but the attitude, I'm talking about the attitude towards it is that, what do you mean? If you approach it with common sense, you're going to see that everything adds up. Adds up, and to go ahead and say, no, there's another one with also everything. That's not logical. So therefore, in this year, what I'm going to try to do is, since Lamaise Gret, there are people who their approach to this is in a gisha, with minimal use of common sense. So therefore I'm going to present the rayas in a way which will use a limited amount of common sense. I'm going to use a more mathematical approach. It's going to be a very unique approach. I don't think you'll ever have heard such a thing. And the way it's going to work is like this. I'm going to give a situation where everybody unanimously would agree, this given situation, no regular human being would say otherwise. Anybody agree, common sense would dictate a certain outcome. And then we're going to use this as the basis and we're going to go use it for the philosophy. In other words, like this. Let's give this story for example. Imagine like this. We're in a shul. I come over to you. I tell you, I owe you 3 shekels. So I have, going to the code room. I have outside the coat room a gray coat. Inside the pocket of the gray coat, you'll find a receipt and 3 shekels. If you listen to the share in America, so 3 quarters. And then you go out to the coat room, take a glance, quick, superficial glance around. Immediately, you quickly spot on. Gray coat in the coat room. You go over to the packet, you stick your hand in the packet, and you put a feel inside the packet, a receipt, and three shekel. Now, in your superficial lens, you didn't see any other great coats. You saw this great coat. And then, you see a three shekel. Would anybody have a havamina not to take this three shekel? What is that? Of course, there's nobody would say, no, maybe there's another one I didn't see. No, of course. What are the chances of there takev being another great coat, which you didn't see, which also has a receipt and three shekel? So I'm going to break it down to mathematics. Let's say a great coat not so common. Say, we'll give you numbers. Anybody is free to give your own numbers, give your own things. This is more. It doesn't have to be exact at all. It's just to give a certain frame of reference. Let's say, for example, there are 1 in 20 coats that are great coats. Right? What are the chances of you going into a coat room, pet coat room, you look around and there's a, having a quick scan around the coat room and having missed one coat, regardless of what color it is, not having seen every single coat in the coat room. I'd say almost every time a person doesn't see every single coat. However, let's say 50% of the time he will see a coat that he will miss a coat, being generous. So already we're up to 50% is 1 out of 2 chances that there's a coat that I didn't see. 1 out of 20 that was great. So up to 1 out of 40. Up to 1 out of 40 chances. What are the chances, we're talking about the winter evidently, where people are wearing coats. What are the chances of somebody putting a receipt in their, having a receipt in their coat pocket? Yeah, it's quite common. Anybody goes into the store and gets a receipt, generally it's cold, they're wearing a coat, they're putting their receipt in their pocket, generally. It's very common. Let's say it was 1 in 5. Have a receipt, any receipt in my pocket. So now we're holding by 1 in 200. Yeah? And what are the chances of somebody having change in their pocket? Yeah? At any given time. So having change in their in a coat pocket is also a very, very common occurrence, no matter what the amount is. But also, let's give it 1 in 5, especially if they have a receipt in their pocket, and the change they have in their pocket could have probably came from the receipt. So let's say that says we give it another 5, so we're up to 1 in 1,000. What are the chances of the change in their pocket being precisely 3 shekels? Now, it could be anywhere between over 20 shekels, not in the instance of a chlal to have in the pocket. More than 20 shekels worth of change. And usually you'll have a bill by then. And the higher you go, the more less likely it is. The lower you go, the more likely it is. So, figure 3 shekel is much more of a likely number than 10. 17 shekel. So let's figure, you know, 1 in 10, let's say 1 in 20, if you're going to go eliminate the possibility of agarot, also. So let's say 1 in 20. So basically, we're holding by, now, 1 in 10,000. 1 in 20,000, sorry. So it's basically a 1 in 20,000 chance of going to a coat room, having missed seeing a coat, which was great, which had a receipt, which had 3 shekel precisely in the packet. So now we have our number. This is going to be our number. 1 in 20,000 is something which everybody would unanimously agree that that's called beyond the shadow of a doubt. Yeah? Is that agreed? Beyond the shadow of a doubt, nobody would assume past 1 in 20,000 there has to be chayshish of there being another one. So now we're going to go through the apply this to the simanim that Chazal gave for the chilazim and the chilazim. And we're going to see, do we beat out the number 1 in 20,000 or do we not? This is basically to give a frame of reference for all those people who are stuck to using mathematical logic, very clear-cut defined logic. So that's what we did. It's also for people who use common sense, but it gives a frame of reference to what we're talking about. Even people who do use common sense, they don't realize the extent of the conclusiveness of simanim. The Gemara Bava Tzia talks about simanim. We rely on simanim for Aveda. There's something called simanim mufakim. There are sugyas, and we rely on them 100%. We rely on Tumata and Aguna. Even for people who do use common sense, however, we don't necessarily realize the extent of how solid and how conclusive the Siman Aleph. Okay. Now, there's one very common error that I hear from a lot of people when I speak to, particularly that people say that, well, how could you go with Simanim? How could you say such a thing with percentages and Simanim, the chances, when you deal with Tchelet? Tchelet was Nignas. So first of all, we spoke about yesterday in the Shir how the source to say Tchelet was Nignas, luckily Nignas, was we don't have basis for that such a thing. Tchelet, the Chilazan, there's nothing supernatural. We never found, there's no Makar to say anything ever supernatural about Chilazan. There's maybe a Rizvaz that says that Eilach Chakish was Zvun, maybe it's Aliyah, there's something that Eilach Chakish was Zvun after that was made. But other than that, we have no Makar at all to say anything supernatural about the Chilazan. However, that's what some people say. Maybe it's Nignas, so Mela, you go with all these chances, you can't go with chances. So the response to that is that Mayin Shute Tlaftina. Nignas has nothing to do with chances. Nignas has to do with the Chilazan being Nignas, and gone. It has nothing to do with the fact that we have a Chilazan which matches all the Simon. And besides, it's like just knock it off, we already have a Mariel, you know, they use Simon. So there's nothing to talk about. And there's another mistake that people say is Hashkafa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make that this one will match up with everything. And really there's another one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything in the world. So I asked them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could also make that there's another code in the code. A great code, which also has a Sian and three shekels inside as well. So what are you going to say to that? So there's one of two options. Either HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the Chilazan, is not in charge of the Kodrum. So really not, say. Or you can say that there's common sense in the Kodrum and there's no common sense in regards to the Chilazan. So you have to take your pick, one of the two. But regardless, the Maril writes already, we can use Simanim to identify the Chilazan to bring a pick. Okay, so the proofs that we're going to bring now are going to be only the clear-cut Simanim from Chazal. Anything that's based on Hasharas, we're not going to go down there, because like we sort of said yesterday from the Nezib Yehuda, a Hashara can't be used as a Raya, can't be used as a Sira. You could only deal with what we know. We're going to go through 22 Siman that Chazal say, and then the Mitzvah next year we're going to see how it matches up with the Mirais. Now these 22 Siman, there's not one proof, these are a set of proofs. There are many proofs. Again, as long as we pass the number 1 in 20,000, then already we could start the next proof to get to 1 in 20,000 again. But, so now here we're going to start with the proofs. Here we go. First of all, the first simen that Chazal give, the first thing that we know about the Chilazan that Chazal give, is that it's found in the Mediterranean. Found in the Yamagada, that's Mavur from Psukim, from Gemaras, from Drashim, from Rishonim. There's nobody who says otherwise, except that there's a certain conscience out there that wants to learn that it's in the Kinneret, based on the Zayar. And the Zayar says that the Chilazan says it's found in the Kinneret. And however, it's Dabar Tamua to say such a thing. Mavur Dabar Tamua. And they get all the Psukim and the Joshim and the Gemaras and the Yishayim. And the Ramak already asked on the Zayar and says that can't be. And the Ramak says that the Zayar was talking about these Sayyids, he was talking about a different type of Chilazan, for short the Sayyids. And the Lamaisa, that's not where it is. So the first Siman from Chazal is that it's found in the Mediterranean. Now this is a big slip, even for proponents of the Murex. Because sometimes people get afraid, like, what happens? You know, they're finding new creatures everywhere. They're finding new creatures in the Pacific Ocean, the depths of the Pacific Ocean. So maybe they're going to come up with a new creature which has the blue dye and has all the Simanei Chilazan. So the first thing you tell the person is that, no, that can't be the Chilazan, because that's missing the first Simen of the Chilazan. The most basic symbol of the Chilazan is that it's in the Mediterranean. not nymphs in the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. To go ahead and say that this species totally emigrated from the entire Mediterranean, walked halfway across the world to the bottom of the Pacific Ocean without leaving a single species behind is logyoni. It's not logical. That's something that we would never say. So we're talking about something that the answer that should be that, of course, that's a raya that is not the chilafin, it's in the Pacific Ocean. So what are the percentage of finding a new creature in the Mediterranean? That's the first question, just like we had with the korum. What are the percentage of looking at the korum superficially and missing a cope? What are the percentage of looking into the Mediterranean, of then coming up with new species in the Mediterranean? So I called up the Jerusalem Aquarium. So I spoke to a marine biologist from the aquarium, and I asked him, what's the likelihood of finding a new species in the Mediterranean? He said, highly, highly unlikely. He said, they've been scouting the bottom of the Mediterranean for many, 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 many years, and there's tons of people scouting it, and they're not finding anything new. Back then, when it was Elio Tavger, and he wrote his, I think, I remember back then, years and years ago, he said, they haven't found a new creature in 20 years. But the Ashadi know they're not, the likelihood of finding another creature in the Mediterranean is very, very small. So now, how much do you want to say? Maybe they'll say 1 in 100, 1 in 2, 2 in 100, 2% chance, 3% chance.
That's it, it's come up to 1 in 70 years.
The what?
That's it, it's come up to 1 in 70 years. At least we just think that's fear.
Oh, so we're going to see, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to talk about the Ask the Shem Shana later in the Shem. At the end of the show, hopefully we'll get to it. Fine, so let's say we're going to be generous, we'll say 1 in 10. 1 in 10 chance. Now, you can do whatever you want. Again, this is up to your discretion. I want everybody to go on their own. I'm going to give you the Maram Kaimis, Mitzvah Shem, and you go home, go over on your own. Whoever listens to the Shir, take a piece of paper, write whatever you feel. This is for your own learning. Do whatever you feel is the right percentage and make the calculation on your own. So if you feel, and no, for sure they're going to find one, then write on the paper 1 over 1. If you feel that they're going to find 10, then write 10 over 1. If you feel that it's 1 in 10, then write 1 in 10. But do something, basically you're talking to your own common sense. That's what you're talking to. What do I feel? Could be now, the facts are, according to if you're going to go with what the marine biologists say, the facts are, it's extremely uncommon. They're going to tell you the facts are maybe 1%, 2% chance. But again, do whatever makes you feel comfortable. Okay. So then, now from here on, we're going to go through simanim that Chazal say about the tchilas itself, and then we're going to go through a set of simanim about on the chilazim. So I'm going to give a Maram HaKaimis to everybody so you go along, everybody can see inside Maram HaKaimis.